folks. We have done over 1,800 of these shows. And most nights, I come out here and I talk to the audience beforehand. And tonight, I thought I'd talk to the audience in here and the audience out there at home. This show, I want you to know and you to know, has been a joy for us to do for you. In fact, we call this show the Joy Machine, all right? Lewis stole it from us, and we are currently in litigation right now. You better lawyer up, buddy. We call it the Joy Machine because to do this many shows, it has to be a machine.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if you choose to do it with joy, it doesn't hurt as much when your fingers get caught in the gears. And I cannot adequately explain to you what the people who work here have done for each other and how much we mean to each other.
Yeah.
So I will just say... I would just say to them, you are all the great Achilles whom we knew. Now, on night one of the Colbert Report, back in the day, I said, anyone can read the news to you. I promise to feel the news at you. And I realized pretty soon in this job that our job over here was different. We were here to feel the news with you. And I don't know about you, but I sure have felt it. And I just want to let all y'all know, in here and out there, how important you've been to what we have done. The energy that you've given us, we sincerely need that to have done the best possible show we could have for you for the last 11 years. You've given it to us, we've given it all right back to you. What would you call that, Lewis?
I would call that a reciprocal emotional relationship.
That's exactly right. Because we love doing this show for you, but what we really, really love is doing this show with you. Now, I'll say to you what I've said to every audience for the last 11 years, and I have meant it every time. Have a good show. Thanks for being here. And let's do it, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen,
tonight is
the series finale of
The Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
And I've got to say, I'm not surprised,
because frankly, it's about damn
time. Stephen Colbert
shot a guy once.
I mean, he's a mean guy. He looks mean, doesn't he?
He's getting fatter by the episode.
He's got a tiny little
genetically altered wiener.
He got caught masturbating in a subway tunnel.
I would rather
watch The Late Show
starring Kanye West and Voldemort.
He looks like a short butcher peeping over 2 pounds of liver.
Whatever that means.
I wish I had an ending for this bit.
It's The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. Tonight, hello, good fun. Featuring Lewis, Kato, and the great big Joy Machine. And now, live on tape from the Ed Sullivan Theater in New York City, it's Stephen Colbert.
Welcome, welcome, welcome one and all to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. Folks, sit down. If you're just tuning into The Late Show, you missed a lot. Tonight is our final broadcast from the Ed Sullivan Theater, where... No, we were lucky enough to be here for the last 11 years.
Yes.
All right, that was... Can't take this for granted. Though actually, technically, our first show back in July of 2015 was from a public access station in Monroe, Michigan, for an audience of 12 people. And show business being what it is these days, it's probably where you'll see me next. There is so much history here in the Ed Sullivan Theater, and we've been honored to have been just a small part of it. Nichols and May played on the stage. The Beatles made their American debut here. And this is true. This is true. Backstage, Elvis used the bathroom and didn't die. We've had so much fun in this theater. So many great segments. I'll miss doing first drafts, where I show the final draft of a greeting card and then show the playfully wrong first draft. So we made one for tonight. This one's pretty nice. This isn't goodbye. It's see you later. Yes. But the first draft said, "This isn't goodbye. How do you start an OnlyFans?" Yeah. I got the tootsies. I got the nice tootsies. Now, at first, when we knew this was going to be our last night, we were planning on doing a huge special this evening. But the thing is, we like to think every episode of The Late Show is kind of special. And we thought the best way to celebrate what we've done over the last 11 years is just do a regular episode where I come out here and talk about the national conversation. And undeniably, today, the big story that everyone is talking about...
Excuse me. Stephen? Stephen, excuse me.
Brian! Yeah. Brian Cranston.
So, but you said there's nothing special happening tonight?
Well, I mean, as I was saying, we're doing a normal episode of The Late Show, which is always kind of special.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But not even like, I don't know, a surprise celebrity cameo popping up out of nowhere?
No, Brian, those always feel kind of forced.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, totally. That's a very cheap stunt. But, hey, I'm here. Maybe I could be your last guest.
That would be great, Brian. The thing is, and I'm right here, we already have a pretty special one lined up. I'm sorry.
What the hell am I here for? You know what? You can keep your stupid hat. I'm gonna go sell my ticket.
Brian. Brian Cranston, everybody. That's too bad. I feel bad. I feel terrible. Moving on. Big news if you're looking to fly in or out of New York, because yesterday morning, a sinkhole shut down a runway at LaGuardia. Reportedly, crews found the sinkhole while conducting a daily morning inspection of the airport's airfield. And yes, that is someone's actual job. What? You thought my whole inspector shirt was a joke? It means what? Holy mackerel, is that why women won't talk to me? Weirdly, that wasn't the only gaping hole to appear in New York City yesterday. Because, and everyone is fine, a school bus in the Bronx partially fell into a sinkhole. First Queens, then the Bronx. Even sinkholes don't want to go to Staten Island. You know what? We better get off the air quick before a giant sinkhole swallows the Ed Sullivan. Oh, there's an update on the folks who were exposed to hantavirus on that cruise ship a while ago. At least two passengers were formally ordered to stay in quarantine in Nebraska. Now, this strict quarantine, I think, is admirably cautious, especially considering the nation's hantavirus response is now being led by Dr. Brian Christine, a penile implant specialist and vaccine skeptic. Clearly, this guy is not a fan of little pricks. Thank you. Thank you very much. Dr. Christine. Peabody, please. The smart choice. Dr. Christine is an election-denying far-right rack job who hosted a YouTube series on erectile dysfunction called Erection Connection. Also the name of a very popular category on Craigslist. We were on the same G-train Tuesday, 8:30 a.m. You were in jeans and a floral crop top. I had an erection.
Oh, my.
Over in Italy, there's a spiciest scandal brewing over Rome's sexy priest calendar, the Calendario Romano, which features close-ups of young, handsome men in priestly attire and has been a perennial Rome souvenir for the last two decades. It's the kind of souvenir that your mom buys as a joke and then puts up in the kitchen as a joke. Then on certain rainy mornings, you come downstairs to find she's just drinking her tea and staring at the calendar as a joke. Mom is so funny. But yesterday, it was revealed that Rome's sexy priest calendar cover model never set foot in a seminary. And hold on, I'm getting word that this is the worst scandal to ever hit the Catholic Church. Oh. What? Okay, this is my deaf ear? Okay. But I'm not surprised, just looking at them, you can tell those two men right there are clearly fake priests, and I know for a fact that pug is only a deacon. Besides, if a calendar...
Hey, I mean, Stephen!
What?
Who's Stephen! That?
Paul Rudd! Paul! Paul, why are you interrupting me?
I'm just curious when our interview starts. I have an extremely long poem I want to recite, and I don't want to run out of time.
You wrote a poem about me?
I wrote a poem.
Okay, that's nice, but Paul, just to be clear, you're not my last guest.
Really? Well, then I guess it's a little awkward that I brought you the traditional retirement gift.
Oh my gosh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much, Paul. Is it like a gold watch?
What? No. I was going to give you the traditional 6 bananas. You know, what you always give people who are retiring.
Well, I'm sorry, Paul, but I'm pretty sure that when someone's retiring, you give them a gold watch.
Oh, great. Well, then what am I supposed to do with these 5 bananas?
Wait, so 5 bananas? Hold on, I thought just a moment ago you said it was 6.
I got hungry. Now interview me.
Hey.
Hey, listen, Paul Rudd. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, it's me, Tim Meadows. Okay, listen, Stephen's a great guy. If he says you're not his last guest, you just gotta accept it.
Hey, my old friend Tim Meadows. Timmy, what are you? It's nice to see you, as always, but what are you doing here, buddy?
I was just explaining to Paul Rudd that, you know, for your last guest, you wanted someone you go back with so we could talk about the good old days when you and I were doing Second City together.
It's not you either, Tim.
Screw you, Colbert! You know what? You got what you deserve. Give me those bananas.
Thanks, buddy. Love you. I'll tell you one thing. It's nice fellas. I'll tell you one thing. This show ending does have one upside. I won't have to talk about the inevitable rise of the machine overlords. You know, though I have recently been given some hope for mankind in the form of this new dancing robot from China. Man, that new Michael Jackson movie looks good. Now, a lot of people have been asking me what I plan to do after tonight, and the answer is drugs. But here's the thing. I just found this out. This just came out, right? The National Marine Mammal Foundation in my beloved home state of South Carolina has a slightly different idea. Thank you. Because down there, they put up this billboard saying, wanted former late show host burdened by whale-related childhood ambition. It's actually one of a series of billboards targeted at me from the Marine Mammal Foundation. And I gotta say, it is really flattering to be considered. You know, and it's one of the only billboards in South Carolina that doesn't say, repent now, Bible is real, dial 1-800-HELL-FOR-YOU, Cracker Barrel in 2 exits. And here's the thing, I don't know how they knew this, but it is true that as a little boy, I grew up wanting to be Jacques Cousteau. So I really appreciate the letter that they sent to me and they put up on their website saying, the work is essential, the mission matters deeply, and the dolphins are cautiously optimistic about your availability. What? The dolphins know I got canceled? Wait, is that true, dolphins? We got a great show for you tonight. It's going to be fun. Stick around. Mm-hmm. Lewis Cato and the Great Big Joy Machine. Oh, my gosh. John, Lewis, Lewis, Andea, Corey, Nega, Joe, give it up for the band right now. The greatest band on TV. Beautiful. I also just want to take a moment right here. Yeah. I just want to take a moment right here. Have a seat, everybody. I want to thank everybody who showed up last night to give me the Colbert questionnaire.
Yes.
It was an extraordinary group of our old friends here on the show. We gave it, how much time did we allow it? 21 minutes, and how long did it go?
58 minutes.
Went to 58 minutes. So you can go online, and we've put up the whole thing, right? The whole thing. You can watch the whole thing right there in all of its beautiful, chaotic glory. Check it out. Now, folks, if you watch this show, you know that on every... I'm sorry, Lewis, is that coming from one of your speakers over there?
No, I don't think so.
Do you hear what I'm talking about, though?
Yeah no, I hear it.
Okay, hold on. Can you guys turn it off? Wait, it's gone. Never mind. Sorry. Fantastic.
Here we go.
Folks, if you watch this show, you know I've spent a lot of my time right over there in the new shipyard, assembling the most topical story hull using the finest graphics, flawless camera work, direction, sound, and lighting, all powered by a 2,000-horsepower marine diesel engine of jokes for the honor of helming the blissfully steady flybridge yacht of comedy that is my nightly monologue. But sometimes, just sometimes, folks, while wrapping up 11 years of gags about Doritos-flavored liquor, three penis cadavers, and cocaine sharks, I strip the copper wire out of our control board and strap my love of my staff and crew to my overturned desk and slap on some fans ripped out of our laser printers, then climb inside and putter away in the unsinkable gratitude dinghy of news that is my segment.
Meanwhile.
Woo! It's sweeping the nation, Chris. It's sweeping the nation. It's a salve for the soul. Meanwhile. A federal appeals court has struck down a 150-year-old ban on home distilling, opening the door to making your own spirits at home. Experts say distilling spirits at home is similar to making beer at home in that the first step is to get divorced. Meanwhile, the world's largest Dr. Pepper bottle was just unveiled at the Dr. Pepper Museum and celebrates the iconic soft drink first created in Waco, Texas, in 1885. Yes, Waco, Texas. You know their slogan, please say we're famous for the soda.
Ooh. E. Oh. E.
Meanwhile, the owner of the music of a Charlie Brown Christmas and other Peanuts television specials has filed 4 lawsuits yesterday against those illegally using the famous song Linus and Lucy. Now, Peanuts is a powerful brand and corporation in and of itself. Anyone illegally using that music is going to have to pay through the nose. Lewis? 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 Excuse me, Lewis. Is the band right now playing the same Peanuts music that I just said people were being sued for using without permission? Is that what you're doing? Yeah. Yeah, is that what they're doing?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I hope this doesn't cost CBS any money. Meanwhile, old-school pharmaceutical brand swag is now hot on the thrifting scene, like this scarf emblazoned with blue Viagra pills or this lovely clock with the logo for the antidepressant Lexapro. It's a good-looking clock, plus it's got that catchy slogan, what time is it? I'll tell you what time it isn't. It isn't time to fill your pockets with rocks and walk into the ocean. Meanwhile, oh, wait a second. Hey, I just noticed another old friend in the audience. It's Tig Notaro. Hi, Tig. Thanks, it's good to...
Hey, Stephen.
Let me guess, you also think you're going to be my guest tonight.
No.
Really?
No, I just like to be at historic events. I was at the Obama inauguration, the moon landing, and whatever this is.
Tig.
Yeah.
You weren't at the moon landing.
I said what I said.
Well, I mean, it's nice of you to be here to support me for my last show.
This is your last show?
Yeah, how did you not know that?
I have a very full life, Stephen.
Well, here's the deal. It's our last show because we were canceled, and I don't really want to talk about it right now.
Yeah, we'll get into it during my interview as the last guest. I got you.
Ryan Reynolds.
We'll break it down.
Ryan. Ryan, it's great to see you, but I hate to tell you, buddy, you're not my last guest.
Ouchie. Okay, well, you know, in that case, I'm just happy to be here, you know, pay my respects to the, well, one of the world's greatest entertainers on his last night at the Ed Sullivan Theater.
Wow, well, thank you. Thank you so much, Ryan. That means so much to me.
I was talking about your keyboardist, Corey Bernhardt. This is for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Please stop DMing me.
Never.
Meanwhile, the New York Post recently profiled a New York City man who makes himself sushi from the bass he catches in the Hudson River. He will be missed. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and James, children of all ages, folks, please have a seat, everybody. And now for my final interview, my guest tonight is not just perfect. He is, in fact, infallible. Please welcome all the way from Vatican City.
Stephen.
What? Waltine, what are you doing? I'm trying to introduce the Pope.
Yeah, that's the thing. The Pope won't come out of his dressing room.
What? Why not?
Well, we didn't read his whole rider, and evidently we got him the wrong snacks. He's pretty mad.
But he asked for hot dogs. We got him hot dogs. Let me talk to him. Put him up. Your Holiness, please come out. Leo, please. We got a show.
No way, Colbert. You call that a Chicago dog? Pope don't play like that. Leo, out.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh. The Pope, who was definitely my guest tonight, has canceled. And did we already send the other stars away?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, we already sent the other stars away. This is terrible. Well, who's going to be my last guest now?
Hey, Steve, what about me?
I think you'd be a perfect last guest.
I could do it. Yeah.
Oh my God, ladies and gentlemen. My final guest. Oh my God. Paul, thank you. Please have a seat, everybody. This is just Paul, you'd be my perfect last guest. What are you doing here, Paul?
Well, I was just in the area. I was doing some errands.
Oh, yeah?
And yeah, actually, I brought something for you.
You brought something for me?
Something for you.
What? Is this?
Yeah.
There's a. They told me there'd be. I thought the Pope was bringing this. I'm sorry about that. What is? I honestly
didn't like
have never seen this.
Come on.
Is that here?
That's here. Right
That's here.
Right here.
Wow. To Stephen. You're better than the Beatles.
No.
Paul McCartney.
No, it doesn't say
that. It does. That's what I read.
It doesn't say that.
When my editors are done, that's what it's going to say, Paul. Thank you. That's so lovely. Thank you very much. That will go up
for
in my...
For you, Stephen. Anything.
Well, thank you very much. Paul, when I've had the honor of interviewing you before, and you've been back to the Ed Sullivan, but I'm just curious, when you're here, what... Like, what's your sense, Brian? When you close your eyes, do you hear the girls screaming?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
That was it.
That was it.
That was it, man.
I'm just curious. Thank you. How often does that happen to you at this point?
Often.
I want you to know that my brothers and sisters are here because it's last night, and two of my sisters, Mary and Margo, were at your concert in Washington, D.C. Do you remember them?
Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How does it feel to be back? What's the vibe?
It's always fantastic to come back here. It's... like you say, I always remember the girls in the balcony, and...
What about Mr. Sullivan? Was he a nice fella?
Not you. I love the girls.
Yeah. Was Mr. Sullivan a nice fella?
Mr. Sullivan was really nice.
Yeah?
Yeah, he was a really cool guy.
What do you remember about, like, coming... 64? February of 64?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you remember about...
Well, I mean, you know, we'd never been to America. We come here and people said this is like the biggest show. And to tell you the truth, we'd never heard of him. You know, but, well, you know, England. But, yeah, so it was fantastic. We came here and you have to go a few floors down to get makeup.
Yeah, it's cavern down there.
And we'd kind of... used to a little bit of makeup in England, and we went down there, and the girls put makeup on us, and it was like bright orange.
That's very popular in certain circles these days.
Yeah.
You fit nicely in.
Set a trend.
Yeah, actually, you did. Now we know where it started.
That's where it started.
Thanks a lot, Paul McCartney. Yeah. Were you pleased with how it went? Did you have some sense of what the reaction was?
Yeah, I mean, we were very pleased. I mean, looking back on it now, what I'm pleased with, we're live, and we sound good, man.
Yeah, you're tight.
Good.
You're really tight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Were you nervous about that?
Yeah, we were a little bit nervous, you know, but we're young kids, and we're sort of full of ourselves.
You were 21, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it was very exciting.
What was your first impression of America itself being over here? Had you been over before that?
No.
Okay.
So it was, we're America, you know? And
yeah, I know, but I'm an American. But as a boy from Liverpool...
Yeah, it was, well, you know...
What'd you expect?
America's where all the music we loved came from. All the rock and roll, the blues, and the whole thing, even going back to the Fred Astaire, it was all from America. So that's what we thought. America was just the land of the free, mm-hmm. the greatest democracy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That was what it was.
Yep, yep. That was it,
And still is, hopefully.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, we have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Paul McCartney, everybody. Stick around. One more time for Lewis Cato and the band right there. That's a good band. You heard of you guys?
Great band.
That's a great band right over there.
Yeah.
Now, as you can see, please have a seat, my friends. As everybody can out there see, we're here with Sir Paul McCartney. Paul, one thing I wanted to ask you, we're talking about...
What the...
Tom, did you see that?
Yeah.
What was that?
I don't know.
All right, all right. Where was I? Paul McCartney. Paul, you have not stopped making music, okay? Right. Yeah. In fact, you've got a brand new album. Is this out now or about to come out?
About to come out.
About to come out. Yeah. It is called The Boys of Dungeon Lane. What was Dungeon Lane?
It was a place nearby where I used to live in Liverpool, a place called Speke. And this was the road that led down to the shore. So it was kind of escape from where I used to live.
What kind of neighborhood was Dungeon Lane?
Dungeon Lane's okay, but the neighborhood I came from was rough.
Okay, so this is the fun place to go.
This is the place to go down, escape.
From the dicey neighborhood.
It was okay. You know, it was all we knew, and we loved it.
I apologize for calling your neighborhood dicey.
Yeah, well, exactly, yeah.
Please don't leave like the Pope did. Have you ever met the Pope?
No.
Oh, I have.
No.
Yes. You're Paul McCartney, but I've met the Pope. I just want to get that out there.
Get you.
This is... Who were the boys of Dungeon Lane?
Dungeon Lane, you know, basically, it's kind of all the guys I knew then. In my mind, there were a couple of us. I say, I used to go down there. I had a little bird book. I used to be an ornithologist.
Oh, like with binoculars and stuff like that?
Wow. Well, a book, no binoculars.
Oh, okay.
Just a book.
I thought maybe you meant like a bird, like a pretty girl.
No.
You never had a book of those?
Well, I did, but that's another story. Anyway, I used to go down there kind of as an escape, you know, from where I lived. And it was great fun until one day the boys, couple of big strapping guys, ugly looking guys, decided to mug me.
Really? How old are you?
I was little and scrawny, and they were big, and they wanted my watch.
Did they get it?
Yeah. What's that gonna do?
Yeah.
However, I reported them to the cops.
And
they got done, and I got my watch back.
Wow. Yeah, that didn't cause you... That didn't cause you any trouble with the boys, like the next time they saw you? They didn't say, hey, you're the one who dropped the dime on us?
No, they were in jail.
They went to jail for stealing your watch? Yeah. All right. There's some beautiful photographs on the inside here. These are the other members of the Beatles right there. There you go. Look at that. Did John and George and those guys go down to Dungeon Lane with you?
George would. No, he was from that area. Yeah, that's where I met George. Well, on a bus, but near there. Mm-hmm.
In the song Days We Left Behind, which is a lovely song, you sing, quote, nothing stays the same, no one needs to cry. I've been thinking about change lately. Are you good with change?
No.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. I like things to just stay the same.
Yeah?
Because I've learned how to do them. And then somebody changes it. You're like the iPhone. I know how to do it, and I say, update.
Yeah.
I don't want to update. I say, I bought you. I don't want you to change.
Wow.
But it changes.
Yeah, it does happen a lot.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What do you do? Like, what's nothing to be done about it?
No.
No.
No. And I hate cookies.
Oh, you mean...
No, the things... I like those.
You like those? You mean like the cookies that attach on the files on your phone?
We do cookies. No, you don't. I bought you.
I know you haven't met the Pope, but I bet you could call Tim Cook and say, don't change my phone.
Well, I did meet him, and I told him off about it. Not the Pope.
Not the Pope, Tim Cook. Tim Cook.
Yeah. Then he left. Apple.
You're the one who drove
nothing
away?
With me. No.
Scared of Paul McCartney.
Yeah, well.
You know, this is our last show tonight. I have a lot of rituals I do before the show begins. You know, all certain things I have to get done. A little superstitious. It just feels right. I don't like things to change either. Mm. I don't have a ritual for ending a show. Do you have any rituals for when you're done with a show?
Yeah. We normally sort of get on a bus and do what we call a runner. And I have a cheese and pickle sandwich.
A cheese and pickle sandwich?
Cheese and pickle sandwich.
Rock and roll.
Oh, hey.
Wild.
I know. Yeah. I know. It's very far out. Accompanied with a margarita.
Well, that helps. That helps. What's the earliest song Paul McCartney can remember?
Well, my dad used to play piano in the house, you know, so I would sort of lie around on the carpet listening to him. So probably the earliest one would be Chicago.
Like Chicago, Chicago, Chicago. That title in town, yeah. Now, Sammy Kahn.
Yeah, I like that. Say he was the family pianist, so I heard a lot of those things. Beautiful Dreamer. That goes back
before. Beautiful Dreamer, wake unto me.
Yeah. That could be a contender. But, yeah.
Do people ever misinterpret your songs to you?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I kind of like it, though. Because, you know,
when they get it wrong?
Yeah. You write it, and you sort of think, okay, there it is. It's done. That's the song. Strawberry Fields, the beginning, it says, living is easy with eyes closed. But
misunderstanding all you see, yeah.
Yeah. But some people think it's living is easy with nice clothes. It's better. Much.
Misunderstanding salty sea. Yes. Yeah. You know about the upcoming four-part Sam Mendes series movies, each one from the point of view of a different Beatles.
Yeah.
You're going to be played, you are going to have, Paul Mescal is going to play Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's cuter? Young Paul McCartney or Paul Mescal?
Me.
You're the cute one. You're the cute one.
No, he's very cute. He's very cute.
We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Paul McCartney. Everybody, stick around. Welcome back. I am here, as you can see, with Paul McCartney. Paul, during the commercial break, you were telling me this story I hope you'd share with the audience. And tell me if I got in this wrong. There was a point at which you and Ringo got into a slap fight with Herman's... What? Tom, did you hear that?
Yeah.
Do you know what that is?
No.
This is not the night for technical difficulties. I tell you what we're going to do is, I'm sorry about this, we're going to take another quick commercial break, and we're going to find that and fix it. Right, Tom?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. We'll be right back with more Paul McCartney, everybody. I'm so sorry about that. I just don't know why tonight is the night that it's happening, but Olivia, if you could just help Paul, I'll be right back as soon as we figure this out, Paul. Thank you. Okay, I'll be right back. Lewis. What the f- is this? Thanks for listening to the Late Show Pod Show. That's it for the audio version of our last episode. Now go watch the rest of it online somewhere. I don't know where. I don't care where. Bye!